rain and 46 degrees downtown at the Arch. Good morning, I'm Michael Calhoun.
I'm Alex Degman. Coming up, restaurants and bars on the Missouri side of the St. Louis Metro, except in Jefferson County, are closing their dining rooms later this week.
I'm Debbie Monterey.
This is Megan Lynch. Area food pantries already under a strain.
I'm Tom Ackerman in Jupiter. As some major leaguers work out here, the minor leaguers have been gone for a while. The Cardinals are prepared to help them. That's on the way at 7:15.
Okay, Moex AccuWeather, we've got off and on rain and some rumbles today. We'll get up in the mid to upper 50s to near 60. Some showers tonight and then some showers and strong thunderstorms later tomorrow.
St. Louis area restaurants prepare for a new normal. KMOX News Time is 7:09. I'm Michael Calhoun along with Debbie Monterey. Tom Ackerman has sports from Florida at 7:15.
Following Illinois' lead, restaurants on the Missouri side of the St. Louis Metro are being forced to close their dining rooms at midnight Thursday.
St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson says regional leaders from the city and St. Louis County, plus St. Charles and Franklin counties, came together and decided this was the right call.
I completely believe that our bar and restaurant community is a very responsible community and will by and large abide by this restriction. They understand. They're smart people. They are seeing the CDC guidelines just like all of us are.
The orders take effect at midnight Thursday and apply only to dine-in customers. Restaurants can offer curbside takeout, drive-thru service, and delivery. Alex Degman, St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Still unclear is the status of Jefferson County bars and restaurants.
If you're headed out to the grocery store this morning, we're already there. We'll let you know what to expect after we get you there with Roger Brand at the Stiefel Traffic Center.
Yeah, a little rain goes a long way, though, Michael.
45 in downtown St. Louis.
KMOX News time is 7:12. Schnucks is the latest grocery store to dedicate an hour of its day to seniors. KMOX's Brian Feldman is live outside of a store in St. Louis County. And Brian, what are the hours for this?
Well, Michael, it kicked off just over an hour ago, starting today and going indefinitely. Schnucks dedicating the first hour of each day, 6 to 7 a.m. for seniors age 60 and over, and those more at risk of exposure to COVID-19. CEO Todd Schnuck said in a statement, "We've heard from many of these customers who have expressed their concern about potential exposure, and we want to do what we can to help." Schnuck's following Dierbergs, Target, Dollar General, Whole Foods, and Fields Foods, all who put similar policies in place. Reporting live, Brian Feldman, St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
With the coronavirus pandemic, the region's food pantries are starting to see an increased demand for help.
The St. Louis Area Food Bank tells KMOX so far their supplies are okay.
We expect that as restrictions and social distancing and stores are in shorter supply, that lines and need and demand will continue to increase.
President and CEO Meredith Knopp says the agency is working to supplement school meals and has been taking food to communities in need. She says many families don't have the resources to purchase extra food and supplies. Knopp says they're working to increase supply lines to be able to access resources in coming weeks as needs will likely increase. Megan Lynch, St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Kids 18 and younger in St. Louis will have a place for free breakfast and lunch during this uncertain time. St. Louis Mayor Crewson teamed up with public and other schools in the city to make sure no child goes hungry. LaShonda Boone is with LaSalle Elementary, one of the three sites distributing grab-and-go meals today from 8 a.m. till noon.
We recognize that in order to get through this, we have to work as partners and also provide that opportunity for our families to have food.
The three sites that begin grab-and-go meals today are LaSalle Elementary, Carondelet Leadership, and Peabody.
A Chicago woman in her 60s is Illinois' first death related to coronavirus. She had an underlying medical condition and was in close contact with another infected person. Governor Pritzker says there's also been an outbreak at a long-term care facility in DuPage County.
Tests so far have revealed 22 positive confirmed cases, 18 residents and 4 staff members. All of the individuals who have tested positive are now isolated at the facility or at a hospital, and visitors have been restricted.
Meanwhile, Madison County has recorded its first confirmed case. A man in his 30s who recently traveled, he has self-isolated at home and is said to be doing well. He'll be included in the state's daily update of cases this afternoon.
From the Jefferson Bank and Trust Business Desk, Illinois' marijuana dispensaries can now sell their products to some of their customers in the parking lot. The state of Illinois yesterday gave pot shops permission to sell to medical marijuana patients who don't want to come into the stores. Recreational marijuana patients will still have to shop inside. It's 7:15.
Now, KMOX Sports from the new Bowl BMW Toyota Sports Desk.
I'm Tom Ackerman in Jupiter, Florida. The Spring Training Report sponsored by Together Credit Union. Share your dreams. We'll share the journey. And by Wilkie Window and Door, the Anderson Window and Door Specialists. As big leaguers who live in this area continue to use the spring training facility as their own personal gym, they are doing that on their own time. No organized workouts here. The minor leaguers were sent home. How do they get paid? That's the question. Well, Cardinals Chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. made the announcement on KMOX yesterday that he will start immediately giving minor leaguers their per diem. That's a start.
We've agreed and thought it would be a good thing to continue paying them. Basically, during spring training, they just get meal money. But, we're continuing that as even though they're not here in spring training. So, a lot of those players really don't have much in the way of resources. Some of the younger guys are up-and-comers hoping to make it ultimately to the big leagues at some point. So, we're trying to soften the blow to them and, keep their, whatever that compensation is, the meal money they get, every day, at least that part of it. Even though they're home.
In addition, all 30 major league clubs are donating $1 million each to their own game day staff as those employees are missing out on compensation due to the coronavirus outbreak. Tom Brady says he's thrown his final pass for the New England Patriots, and according to reports, he could sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as early as today. The PGA Championship, tennis's French Open, among those events postponing. We'll run through those on the way at 7:45. I'm Tom Ackerman in Jupiter on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
KMOX News Time going on 7:22, and let's go live to St. Louis County Executive Sam Page joining us on the TDK Technologies Newsmakers line. And could you tell us more about the decision you got together with leaders in the region to talk about? I'm sure it was a difficult decision to close restaurants to dine-in service and how that information and rollout went with the restaurant owners in the region.
Well, good morning. Yesterday, I spoke to several restaurant owners and small business owners on the phone. And then yesterday afternoon, we had a press conference in North County at DePaul Hospital with regional leaders and the leadership of our major health system to talk about some of the changes that are coming. The most important is to maximize our social distancing policies. And I know that everyone understands what that means. But what we've done is we've asked our restaurant owners to limit their sales to curbside, carryout, and drive-through, and takeout services. We believe that this will help us with our goals of social distancing and to minimize social mixing, and will help us a great deal to limit the spread of the virus in our community.
And Dr. Page, this really is a consortium of just about every county in the region. Yesterday, we had the mayor, we had you, and we had St. Charles County's executive there. Have you been in contact with Jefferson County, and how come they're not participating in this? Do you know?
Well, we have been in contact with Jefferson County, and I have spoken to their county executive several times, and I know other folks has as well. And we're all talking about this. Jefferson County is spread out a little bit more. And, I believe that they will be implementing some of this, too. But I would direct you to that county executive. We're discussing things in Jefferson County. It's set up a little bit different. Their Board of Health is appointed differently. But we're all talking and we're all working together. I think you'll see a lot of these policies already adopted voluntarily all over the region.
And are you satisfied, zooming out at the situation and the response, are you satisfied now with the amount of testing that's being done, or earlier you had said there may be more positive cases we don't know about? Do you still feel that way?
Well, I don't think anybody in the country is satisfied with the amount of testing. This is a new process, and our country is working as fast as possible to get testing in place. We are stepping up testing in the region. By Friday, we'll have multiple sites in St. Charles County, in St. Louis County, and even in the city. And those are being organized through a good working relationship with our hospital systems and a couple of private labs. But there are rules limiting testing now by the CDC to someone who has a fever and who is symptomatic, who has been in contact with someone else, or who has traveled to an area of risk. We hope when we have more tests available, when more in production, and we expect that in the next few days, that we'll be able to expand that. But again, those testing abilities are limited by the number of tests that we can find in the country.
And what are the level of services that are currently available to people? Because I think most people who are working from home and their kids are home from school, and there's the sense that everybody is at home, but may still need some services. So how is the county ready to meet those needs?
Well, the county is continuing all of its basic government services, limiting folks to working at home whenever that's possible, but also implementing social distancing at all of our patient-facing experiences, and we'll continue to do. Well, government will continue to provide our basic services, and we'll continue to take care of folks who come to us and need us to accomplish something so they can move through their life. As far as in our community, we will continue to allow businesses to operate, again, implementing social distancing whenever possible. People need to work from home, but essential functions in our community will continue.
Are you in contact with our U.S. senators and Congress people, and are you having any input on what may come down in terms of a package to aid those small business owners, or perhaps even direct payments to some employees who may find themselves out of work now? What are you hearing from our representatives in Washington about that?
Well, I've spoken to several of them, speak almost every day, and they're working very seriously to get this federal aid package passed. We know that this has really impacted our economy at a national level, and our relief is going to have to come from the federal level. This is something that we will get through. We'll get through in some sort of time measured in weeks or months, but we can work through this together. We've been through some trying times in our country. Our community is resilient. One of the things that's really impressed me that I've noticed over the past week is how everyone is stepping up to help their neighbor, to pitch in. Our charitable organizations are getting organized. The St. Louis Community Foundation had a meeting with our staff yesterday, and everyone is working together and stepping up. We recognize that these social distancing techniques are tough. They impact our business community significantly, but we know it works. We know this will limit the speed of which the virus spreads through our community, and we will work through it.
Dr. Sam Page, St. Louis County Executive, thank you for the time this morning. KMOX News Time is 7:27.
San Francisco tells residents to shelter in place as coronavirus cases rise, and all eyes are on Wall Street after futures were down all morning. In fact, they tripped the circuit breaker. KMOX News Time is 7:30. I'm Michael Calhoun.
I'm Debbie Monterey, and here's Roger Brand in the Stiefel Traffic Center.
Well, for travel westbound on 3.
This Thursday, restaurants and bars in St. Louis must close their doors to inside customers. Curbside takeout is acceptable. That's the call of Mayor Lyda Crewson. It was a regional decision with Franklin, St. Charles, and St. Louis counties. Jefferson County did not follow suit.
We need direct federal help.
While no one knows how long the restrictions will be in place, Mayor Crewson is looking down the road and knows there will be economic fallout.
Our businesses need it. Our residents are going to need it. And you know there's some things going through Congress right now. I'm not going to predict what comes out of that.
Crewson believes there's a large movement to make sure that the federal government shores up individuals and businesses.
That's not to say that there won't be a devastating impact on individuals and on businesses. And that is very heartbreaking.
Crewson adds, though, there's no way around it. It's what the medical people say is required to limit the spread of the coronavirus. Maria Aquino, St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
We're keeping an eye on store shelves for you this morning. KMOX's Brian Feldman is live in St. Louis County. Brian, where are you and what have you seen so far today?
Well, Michael, in West St. Louis County, inside a Schnucks, and we are seeing you know, mostly toilet paper and a lot of these perishable items that are stocked, but it appears that a lot of the workers are having to rush a little bit faster to make sure that everything is stocked. Now, items like toilet paper, wet wipes, really going fast. You know, other stores reporting runs on perishable items like meat, vegetables, and eggs. Even baby and toddler items such as diapers and pull-ups are flying off shelves. And how about this? Ramen noodles reportedly going fast at a lot of different places. Now, regarding toilet paper, companies saying there's not a shortage. It's just tough to keep the shelves stocked. Procter & Gamble even says they're shipping a record high amount of Charmin and other brands to the stores. Orders reportedly have nearly doubled since the coronavirus outbreak. Reporting live in St. Louis County, Brian Feldman, St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
They all had a good attitude and a good mood about them, and we've got this election done, and we'll be ready for November.
That is St. Clair County Clerk following yesterday's primary within the pandemic. Thomas Holbrook telling KMOX the judges who stepped up made a bad situation better.
My fleet of voting equipment is very aged. It's going to act up once in a while, but it did well. We have 190-plus precincts, and I think we had to replace two scanners, and we did that in the first hour, and we followed up, and we ended up processing those ballots immediately so that it wouldn't delay us. That all speaks well to the workforce we have, my troubleshooters, my election judges, my employees here in my office. They rose to the occasion.
Holbrook says the weather even cooperated.
We had a bigger turnout than I expected.
Former Vice President Joe Biden won yesterday's Illinois Democratic primary for president, widening his lead over rival Bernie Sanders. In an election complicated by the coronavirus pandemic, Biden also won in Florida and Arizona. And coming up, we're going to go live with our Michael Kelly, Democratic strategist, on the presidential race and the effects the pandemic might have on politics. KMOX News Time is 7:35.
KMOX News Time is 7:36. And joining us right now on the TDK Technologies Newsmaker line, it's our own political strategist, Michael Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning, Deb.
First question for you, is it over? That's what people want to know, that Joe Biden seems to be winning all of these primaries. And is it time for Bernie Sanders to bow out?
Well, in a freakish way, there's still a mathematical possibility that Bernie Sanders could start to pull some delegates and do it. But the reality is, the real reality is that it is over. This has been a snowball that started with the endorsement of James Clyburn in South Carolina and then primaries after it, that has just continued to grow mass as it's gone down the hill. I would anticipate that we're going to see Bernie Sanders in the next week or so drop out of this race. There are a lot of people in my party that want to see Bernie Sanders handled with kid gloves. I think the unique circumstances of what we face and the need to replace Donald Trump for Democrats will overtake that, and Bernie will soon leave this race.
Michael, before we get to traffic and weather, one more question for you. What has the impact of coronavirus been, from no campaign events to the substance of what people are deciding on? What's been the impact of this pandemic?
Well, we're starting to see elections across the country canceled. There's no municipal election that's supposed to take place here the first Tuesday in April in Missouri that's likely to get postponed. And then not to mention that we don't know how long this is going to go on. There's even talk about whether or not we might be having virtual party nominating committees rather than having the huge gatherings. We all don't know the impact, but we're going to be living with the consequences of this for a long, long time.
All right. Michael Kelly joining us this morning. And yeah, we have big conventions coming up. Think about that, with both parties having thousands of people expected. I would imagine there's some discussion about that as well. KMOX News Time is 7:39. The news continues at 7:51. Lots of talk about the possible canceling of elective surgeries over the next few weeks as concerns grow about hospital capacity issues. Dr. Deborah Birx is the coordinator of the White House Coronavirus Task Force.
Things that don't need to be done over the next 2 weeks, don't get it done. If you're a person with an elective surgery, you don't want to go into a hospital right now. There's a lot of distraction. There's a lot of people doing a lot of other things to save people's lives. So let's all be responsible and cancel things that we can cancel to really free up hospital beds and space. And then let's do everything that we can to ensure that we don't need the ventilators because we've protected the people who would have needed to use them.
KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer asked SLU Care General Internist Dr. Fred Buchhold at St. Louis University Hospital about local hospitals now rescheduling elective surgeries.
Yeah, I think most are, I'm not sure how much I can disclose about that, but I think that's definitely a discussion point, and I think most are looking to start to reduce those, and cancel them. The real question, a couple of interesting things have come out of this. One is, what constitutes an elective surgery? There's ones that are perfectly obvious, but there's ones that are a little bit more subtle, like say you're diagnosed with colon cancer, and in early stage colon cancer where surgery is curative, that's usually scheduled as an elective, kind of outpatient type of procedure. I mean, you may be admitted afterwards, but it's certainly planned and scheduled. Would you qualify that as elective or not? So there's some that are pretty easy decisions and pretty brainless decisions. Then there's ones where, like, delaying that care and, depending on how long we stop these elective surgeries, it may be a few months. That's the difference between somebody, having a very curable cancer to it potentially spreading. And, those are kind of the weighty questions. The other issue, I think, and again, I think it's a policy question more than a political question, is, for a lot of medical groups, large medical groups, so, our medical group, the Washington University Physician Group, and I'm sure other groups that are large practices, these procedures are our bread and butter. I mean, this is how we keep the lights on, and this is how we keep, everybody paid. And so, this comes at an enormous cost, and how are we going to bear that? I mean, my worst fear is like that these practices will become insolvent, and we're not going to have the ability to do anything about that. So I think that's a question for our political leaders, is, how do we make our hospitals financially whole, such that the risk of them losing a significant amount of money, these practices losing a significant amount of money, such that they get close to bankruptcy, is a if this lasts long enough, is a true existential threat. I think something we have to talk about and think about, because it's a problem.
Dr. Buchhold, I know we had several callers on KMOX saying their elective surgeries have been moved to allow more and better use of the hospital space. So that is going on, correct?
Yes. Yeah. No. And again, just the planning of that and what that means, again, there's just shades and shades and shades of gray, and all the focus really is just making sure we have some capacity to deal with this. That's been, at least in our institution, the bulk of a lot of collaborative work to sort and plan through this. And there's the devil's in the details, right? So, I mean, it's easy just to cancel them, but then, how do you make plans to deal with those patients? And then who needs to at least, we have to make decisions about people that may need operations, if not this week, but in the next couple of weeks. There's a lot of nuance still. But yes, most are working and actively planning to accommodate all that.
I know mid-March is usually a big vasectomy-rich time. Think those will be postponed?
Those are things where they're not emergent. It's not life or death. It doesn't have long-term consequences if you don't do it. Those are kind of the easy ones to decide. We're just going to postpone this for the near and maybe far future to we can figure this out.
That's Dr. Fred Buchhold, a general internist with SSM Health, St. Louis University Hospital. You can hear our health editor, Fred Bottomer's full interview with Dr. Buchhold by going to KMOX.com and just look for the podcast titled Coronavirus Facts Only. It's 7:56.
Total Information AM on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.